All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Friday, March 26th. Fresh episode of Oilers Nation Radio. Episode 130, in fact. I'm Bag Milk. I am here with Tyler Remchuk, Rick, and Nation. Dan is in a hole slash car. I don't know where Dan is. We're going to have Struds coming up in a minute. We're going to have Jay coming up after that to talk about the Nation Network announcement that came out yesterday. Lots to get to. Let's jump right into it. As always, we start off the podcast shouting out our friends at Sherwood Ford. Check them out on social media, at Sherwood Ford on Twitter, at Sherwood Ford underscore the Giant on Instagram. It is time to get yourself into a new vehicle. A new season means a new you, maybe, Dan. You know? Nice whip.
I'm in a vehicle currently.
Dan is in a vehicle currently. Yeah,
we can tell.
Sounds great. Our friends at Sherwood Ford would like to get you into one as well. No matter your budget, they will be able to find something for you. If you're just looking for a spring tune-up on your current whip, they can also help you out with that. New tires, oil change, whatever you need. Sherwood Ford has got you covered. As we do every week, my friend Tyler Yaremchuk will take it away and give us the Sherwood Ford Giant Question of the Week.
Yeah, we do have Struddy coming up in just a second here, so hopefully we can all get through our Sherwood Ford Giant Question Answers. But we'll throw this one Struddy's way, too. That's what I like about having him on. But your Sherwood Ford Giant Question of the Week. The added rest for the Oilers, although it is unplanned, is that a positive or a negative for this hockey team?
I'm starting. Bad, Tyler. I don't like it.
Okay.
Oilers were rolling before this break. They had just come off some big wins against the Jets, back-to-back wins against the Jets. They were rolling into Montreal against a team that was struggling. Montreal sucks. They are fake news. Boys were looking to clean up that series. That was a three-game series, but instead they got a few days off now, to be fair. There's some players like Yamamoto who's practicing today with Nugent Cahoon, who was a little bit banged up, and probably it's a good thing that he had a couple extra days off to heal up. But I just think for the overall team, they were playing so well that for me personally, it sucks that they weren't able to continue in Montreal. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I'm a little on the fence with this one because they had played so much. Usually I'd say, hey, I don't want this good run to be disrupted. And I just saw Struddy enter the waiting room, so we'll get to him in a second here. I wouldn't want the good run to be disrupted, but when they played so much, I actually think being able to just chill for a little bit, some of their players were banged up as well. They're back at 100% now for this series against the Leafs. I actually think that's a good thing.
Rick, what do you think?
Yeah. You know what? There's both sides to it. You guys had it right there. One way it could work and pay off for you. Another one, you could come out really tired and just kind of lethargic. I think these guys, though, they are really upset about the last three games. So you got these Montreal ones. As soon as they announced all three were gone, they got to focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's two in a row against the Leafs. So I think they will spin this and use it as a positive. I think you'll see a big team come out early Saturday night.
Dan?
Well, this is a team now that has had the last two times they've had an extended break, one for the COVID break and in leading into the play-in round, and then one to start the season. It hasn't gone well for them. So you got to believe that Tippett's trying some new stuff this week. You're kind of looking at it like it's a playoff round where you eliminated the other team a little earlier than the Leafs did. And now they're going into a matchup against the Leafs where, like Rick said, they've got something to prove. So yeah, I hope that the team can turn it into a positive. History shows me that it probably is a negative, but hopefully the rust doesn't take too long to kick off, especially because they have been going so hard up until this point.
We're now bringing in Jason Strudwick, whose appearance on the network is brought to you by Vision VR Hockey Training. Train your hockey brain to see the plays to make with off-ice reps on their VR training system. It's in St. Albert. If you want more info, visionvrhockey.com is where you want to go. We bring in the man, Jason Strudwick. Struddy, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. It's like I'm doing a Playboy Playmate layout here.
Yeah, are you laying down in bed?
I am, actually. I came up to pet my dog. I'm like, you know what? I'll just do it up here. She sleeps up here on the old workbench.
That was real nice. That's a casual little Friday afternoon for you, Struds.
I should have had a nap. Should have had a nap. Get freshened up.
Right, Strud, before you jumped on, we were talking about the Oilers going into a surprising break. Obviously, all three games against Montreal got wiped out. Do you think that this is a benefit for the Oilers to get a little bit of rest, or would you have liked to see them play on as they were rolling pretty well before this break?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'd prefer to keep playing. I think that's they're you're feeling good when you're winning, you want to keep playing every day. But you know, in the short term, you know, Yamamoto gets the chance to heal up. The big guys like Nurse and Leon and Connor, those guys get a chance to kind of just freshen up. And I'd like to think that they take these last couple of days and really have good practices. Because what happens when you're such a condensed schedule, you don't get any time for practice time. So now all of a sudden you're getting a lot of practice time, you're getting rest. You can't go get in trouble. Like, you can't go out in Montreal for a big night. And trust me, I know it's tiring. So this, you had no option but to stay in your room and watch The Crown, right? Something that is, I'm sure they're all watching. So I think that this is, it's not ideal, but you have to make the best of the situation, maximize the return. And I like to think with Dave Tippett, they've done just that.
Strudy, I wanted to get your take on what the Oilers could do ahead of the trade deadline. We just saw Eric Staal get traded to the Habs for a couple of later round picks, a third and a fifth. We've heard the Oilers connected to Luke Glendening a little bit. What do you think Ken Holland should be doing ahead of deadline day here?
Well, you have to understand my philosophy. I don't think the Oilers are in a position to win a Stanley Cup this year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of chat they could get by Winnipeg or Toronto, and I don't believe that today they can beat Winnipeg in a 7-game series. I believe that Winnipeg's going to make a move to add a D-man. And when they do that, their top four will be strong. Not elite, but strong. Their top six are as deep as any top six in definitely in the Northern Division. And their goaltending is really good with Hellebuck. And it has been good for the last number of years. So I just don't see them able to beat that team. So what do you have to add? Well, I think you have to add at least another scoring winger. Going to be expensive. I'm not sure. I'm a little tight with the first strings. Until I know it's time to go in. So I don't think this is the time to go all in to try to get that guy. I think they need a third line center. And then you can add, you know, I guess if you really want to get really hot and bothered, you can add a D-man. So there's a lot of holes to fill there that to get up to being what I call Stanley Cup ready. You can add a Glendening. I don't love that the Oilers don't have a lot of picks. No 2, no 3, no 5. You know, and I do believe you have to keep adding and adding and until it's ready. And then you load up and go for it. I don't believe they're at that. They're not at that level. So you want to, you know, add something like Glendening. Yeah, I think that helps. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think that going all in right now is a good decision.
Strud's a big story this week. Changing gears here a little bit. Tim Peel got the axe this week after he got caught with a hot mic about a makeup call. You played in the league for a long time. Is this surprising to you? Because personally, I've watched hockey my whole life. It just seemed like if you see one team get down or 2-3 straight penalties, you know the one's going the other way. Is this a surprise at all?
No, it's not. And I when I saw his name trending, I'm like, oh, man, what did he do? Like, did he actually, you know, was it something he said that was really wrong? And insensitive. And I heard that. I was like, okay, and then what? And then what happened? Like, what did he say after that? You know, did he like sign language something? Because to me, it was nothing. It was like, yeah, I've heard that before. So I'm, you know what? We got to get it. All these people want to have all the refing perfect. Sports is imperfect. I think that's what we like about it. If you want to be perfect, you go watch Robot. That's perfect. Imperfect. The coaches aren't perfect. The players aren't perfect. And we should expect officials to be imperfect as well. But there's some people that need to have, everything's got to be right. I would love to go look for soccer. It'll be organized by size and color from left to right. It probably looks immaculate, you know, in their cereal containers. It's all organized perfect. That's not what hockey's all about, or sports. So I don't care. Honestly, the refs, I know when I get three penalties, the other team's going to get one. That's just the way it is. The refs don't want to influence it. So I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. It's not a surprise.
What do you make of the firing, though? Because it seemed like the NHL just kind of like, well, we're not going to tolerate this, even though, you know, he's retiring at the end of the year and he was going to be done. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, I know. I could see it being an issue. You know, people getting worked up and you want to get rid of them. But my big thing is this, is that if you really want to get worked up about the fishing, let's talk about Zach Kassian's hit against Nick Ehlers, the hit from behind in the game. To me, that was a hit from behind. Let's talk about Andrew Copp's hit on Ethan Bear from behind. Like, that was a real hit from behind. No call on that. But, yeah, we're going to fire a ref who says what we're all thinking anyway. Like, I'm sorry. I don't get it. It's really frustrating, and it's disappointing. You want to talk about penalties? Oh, hold on. My dog is going off here. What's your
dog? I was looking. Who's dog?
Is him or Frank?
My kids, they're the most annoying kids on the planet. They don't understand anything. But, no, so then you want to talk about let's talk about when a guy puts a stick on another player's, or his stick parallel to another player's hands on ice, that's a penalty. Let's call that all the time. Like, I don't know why we worry about what Peel said. We're worried about calling their actual penalties. And if people, I think the standard should be, you put your stick parallel on the ice to another player's on his gloves, it's an automatic 2 minutes. I don't care if it's the first 30 seconds or last 30 seconds of the game. That's the standard. And you want to get scoring back in or have more scoring, put that back in. That's an easy call all day long.
Well, it does seem like it comes from the top, right? In a sense where when the NHL wants stick infractions, they get them. When they want no more obstruction, they get them. But it just, I agree with you. It was very interesting to see the reaction and the overreactions about something that, if you've watched hockey for any length of time, I mean, it just kind of seemed obvious to me.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think what they need to do, they got to get the top players. You know, you think back to that big summit they had in 2004. Shanahan led it, and they wanted to get rid of obstruction. You know, I obviously wasn't invited because I would have gone the other way. But I think at that time, people really want to change it. So you get in there and you say, okay, let's get our top players, Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, and you got to have some D-men, you know, in there as well, and some goalies. Okay, what do we have to clean up? What really bothers us? Because to me, at the end of the day, it's how the players want to play it. You know, if they want to be a little tighter, then go for it. They don't, then let it roll. But make no mistake about it. The people involved are the players. They should be involved in those decisions at a high level.
Struds, what's the craziest thing you've ever heard a referee said to you or anybody around you? Is there anything that sticks out in your memory?
Well, the easy one is that when you say you and I are roughing each other up, and let's say you're not really a fighter, and the guy's like, you know, I'm gonna kick your ass, and the ref's like, stand back, go ahead, kick his ass. I'd be like, oh, seriously? And I jump in and fight that guy. I'm like, this is unreal. Like, calling someone's bluff. I loved it when guys call people's bluffs. But I had the refs come up and, you know, like, I was pretty respectful of the refs. And a couple times, I didn't like to call. And then, you know, I would try to stay calm and not say anything to embarrass them. But then the next period, they come over and say, hey, man, I owe you one. That was the wrong call. And you know that much that diffused the situation? Like, it brings it right down. And so I really tried to understand the rest point, that they're trying to do it in real time. There's two sets of eyes for 10 people moving on the ice. You're not going to see everything. And I can tell you from personal experience, I knew when the refs were looking my way, and that's when I got even things out. I love the slash on the back of the leg, sometimes a spear by accident when I was going off the ice on a change. Like, that's when you even things out. So it's hard to see everything. But when a ref comes over and says, hey, I missed it, or it was a wrong call, I'm not asking them to go and make it up right there, but I just want to hear that. And I know probably they're not going to make it up right away, but it's just nice to hear someone admit they made it wrong. I don't need to hear that through the media. I don't need them to send a nice post-it note to my coach. Just hearing it straight for me means a lot. I don't want to see refs injured after games. I think that's unnecessary and, quite frankly, unfair.
Strutty, for this game tomorrow night for the Oilers, they're obviously almost a week off since they've played. What should the mindset be? What is the mindset of a team when they're going into a big game after so much time off? Is it keep it simple? Is it just sort of do the little things right? Like, what's sort of the messaging in the room?
Yeah, those are both good ones. And I'd say just get your energy up as high as you can right away. You can't feel your way into this game. I think that Toronto will understand how they literally manhandled the Oilers last time. Like, it was just a real dismantling. So now for the Leafs, they have to understand, they know it's going to be a tough one. They'll be ready to play. So they just have to get their energy up and get ready to go. So, you know, I don't know if they'll have a morning skate tomorrow, but I expect a lot of energy in that. And just have your best first shift you possibly can to get that energy up and meet what the Leafs are going to bring, because you know they're going to bring it. They had a pretty exciting game on Thursday night, so yeah. They're going to want to come and make sure they get it done tomorrow.
Strutty, man, as always, we appreciate your insight. Thanks for doing this.
I got to go yell at my kids. I said, like, just leave me quiet. Don't get the dog worked up. And they're out there running. It's like, they're so annoying. They're so annoying. But I do love them. See you guys later.
Thanks, Strutty. There you go. That's Jason Strudwick for Vision VR Hockey Training. Train your hockey brain to see the plays to make. It's Vision VR Hockey. .com. It is here in St. Albert. Here, I'm the one in St. Albert, but it's in St. Albert, so it's nice and close. And Chalmers was talking on Real Life. If your kid's hockey team has like funds and money left over that they can't refund, Vision VR Hockey, that's the best way to do it. A really unique thing that Strutty's a part of there. Also, all of the guests on Oilers Nation Radio, they are brought to you by Cornerstone Insurance. OilersNation.com. The Cornerstone Insurance is our insurance brokers. Boy, I butchered that ad read real good. Cornerstone Cornerstone INS is the website. Check them out. There you go.
I just want
better
to
than last week's, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took two. Better. You had to take a second spin at last week's.
Yeah. I edited that out, actually. Yeah. So the listeners would never know that last week's was bad. The last week's was ugly.
Yeah. That was a battle against the English language on that one. Tyler, I want to bring some people in case you don't know. So on game days, an hour before puck drop, I've started a new thing on Instagram Live called Risky Business, where we jump on 10 minutes and we're talking betting on our games. We're betting with our hearts on Risky Business. That's what it's all about. I'm trying to make a little money. The funny part, Tyler, is you joined me on Monday's episode.
Yep.
And I couldn't have thought of a funnier way to end it. I rewatched it, actually.
Oh, it's so good.
Because we were talking about the game, we were talking about our bets, and the whole thing, the whole time, the whole 10 minutes, Tyler's like, well, I don't know, the game could be postponed, but we kind of forged on, like, well, let's just go as if it's actually going to happen. And then part of the shtick that I do is I have a countdown timer of 10 minutes, and when that goes off, it's over. Perfectly timed this time was when we're winding it down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then Tyler just says, ah, fuck, the game's canceled. And then the bomb goes off. And that was it.
It was, if you can go back onto the Oilers Nation Instagram to this Monday, find the end of the video. Like literally the last frame is me like throwing my pen against the table, being like, fuck. It's so funny.
It's so good. So I just want to go around the horn real quick. This is the first time this has happened in the North Division. Yeah. There haven't been games canceled. We did have one earlier in the year postponed after Jesse had an inconclusive test or whatever it was. Everything ended up being fine. Game got pushed back an hour and they played. This time, however, there wasn't just game pushed back. All three got wiped out. So I just want to go around real quick. Thoughts on having the first series in the North Division rescheduled. Tyler, what do you think?
Life is boring without hockey. Like, that's kind of my whole take on it. We are very lucky that we made it this far into the season without having an Oilers game even like postponed. Like, we had the one game against the Habs that was pushed back an hour. But other than that, we've been lucky that we've gotten our regularly scheduled hockey this year. And it really sucks when these games get delayed. And now we're at a point where I know some stuff might get thrown around with the Ottawa schedule still, but like Edmonton could play Saturday, Monday, and then what, be off again for like another 3 days? We're going to go 2 weeks with like barely any hockey. This is a joke. Anyways, you understand why it has to happen, but it just sucks that it finally came to that point.
Yep. Safety first, all that. I get it. We're all on the same page about it, but still sucks. You know, three Oilers games this week. I was just sitting there. I'm like, what do I do now? Maybe I'll start a new show. Rick, what do you think when the games got postponed?
I think I was probably more along the lines of what some of the more vocal people were like asking why. Like, I get it. I get it. Right. Obviously the safety and blah, blah, blah. But So you had two players, and we go back to like, at what point isn't there like, shouldn't we have been good to play tomorrow or, you know, like last night? Like those guys were out of there. They were, you know, they were away from the team. The rest of the team had their negative tests and whatnot. They've come out every day since said, you know, it's only those two guys on the list still. And yeah. only those two guys. Like, I just don't know why it was, you pushed so many games at, you know, like we said four games or whatever from that point. It's just that kind of confused me. I know it's more frustration more than anything else because you obviously just want to play, but it just leaves me more questions. Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, especially when we played after the Montreal one with the false positive. Like, it just, I don't know. It's frustrating. I know it's for the safety and for the best and whatnot, but I've still found it frustrating.
For me, I would rather have them not play the Habs at all and rework the schedule and just say, you know what, we're going four days without a game. That sucks. But I'd rather have that than have the Oilers pop up with two positives and have to sit like, you know, 10 days again.
No, and that's
right?
Fair. And that's fair. But I mean, they called it off.
It is frustrating, though.
They called it off on like Tuesday, didn't they?
Yeah, they said, I think on Tuesday that the rest of the week was done because I think they, because of the confirmed positive, and it might have even been the fact that it was a variant, like they might have just been like, oh, fuck, let's not risk this at all.
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
I also heard,
but yeah, the rest of the team was away already. Like, it seemed like the rest of the team was away long enough. Obviously, the Bell Center was cleaned out properly and whatnot because the Oilers have been practicing in there. There's just those weird little questions. I know it's for the best, and I probably shouldn't ask those questions, but that's just where I sat on it.
It's just all abundance of caution, right?
It is, like Dan said, abundance of caution. They got to do it. It is what it is. I also heard that through a couple of rumblings from here and there that the Oilers, Ken Holland specifically, was trying to get them to play last night against Ottawa and have the Leafs switch that game out. Obviously, it didn't happen. And Reed Wilkins tweeted out that the Oilers were also trying to get another game in after the weekend before they return home to not make a big waste of that.
That's still a possibility that we end up playing Montreal on the Tuesday after the Leaf game or something like that. I heard on the radio.
Or if the Habs aren't good to go, we could end up playing Ottawa next week and getting our last two games against the Sens out of the way. I heard that as well from, I think it was Bruce Garriott who said that.
Where are they in terms of the schedule coming forward then?
I think they play Montreal.
One. No, the Ottawa versus Edmonton.
That's second week of April.
Yeah. Second week of April. And then the third week of April is our week off, like our 4 or 5 day break. So it's going to get a little weird in there.
Well, we'll see what happens. This is all weird. You know, it's like we've never, ever had an NHL season where we're just like, well, sometimes you just got to mix and match and see what happens.
Yeah, and you're right, Begmilk. And it's like, for me, correct me if I'm wrong, Were these breaks not put in as release valves for this kind of situation where you have to postpone a game?
Then you can there's a week put in at the end for that. But everybody had their 5 day break anyways, kind of sort of like normal.
Okay,
we'll see.
Yeah, knock on wood, it doesn't keep happening.
It will push back the playoffs by a week now, right? Like, nope. I don't see any way.
No.
You don't think so?
They have it all worked out. This is only going to push back the regular season, or like the schedule is going to go one day later. But Pierre LeBrun said they still believe they can start the playoffs on the 14th. Like, even if it's pushed back a day, it's not a big deal.
They're going to try and squeeze these three games in then.
They are. Oh, yeah, 100%. They're not moving back the schedule a week.
They built a week at the end of the schedule that was supposed to be four.
I think they just kind of had a couple days of wiggle room. And that's they
what
just
LeBron,
kinda,
yeah, that's yeah. what LeBron had tweeted out probably at the very beginning of this all on Monday.
Well, and Rick,
there's
too,
a week at the end.
And for you, like, Rick, you're right. And I think that you might see that with other divisions where there's been huge disruptions. Like, and then that's where the win percentage is just going to have to come into the equation.
No, because according to that LeBron tweet was that the Oilers Habs is going to be really hard to squeeze in. Therefore, that was going to be at the end in that little buffer zone. Whereas the rest of the games that have happened or have been affected already have been penciled in somewhere else. So according to that one tweet I was referring to, LeBron said the only thing outside of the actual season so far would have been the three for the Oilers and the Habs.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's it's a lot of speculation. There's going to be – it'd be interesting to see how they try and work this out. Just as it'll be interesting to see what I'm going to order from Skip the Dishes to celebrate my weekend. Why? I'm excited that there is a hockey game tomorrow. Knock on wood, in theory, the Edmonton Oilers play the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow, and I'm excited about it. I've missed them. I've missed them very much, and I miss them so much that I will be eating takeout. Perhaps even I will do a multi-course event where I order appetizers, a main, and a dessert.
Separate drivers?
Three separate locations even.
Can you schedule these orders? So you have like one order at about 3:30. You get your appetizer maybe 4:15. You know, you have your dinner come around, 5:30-ish and get a little, maybe a little late night snack around 9.
That's the way. That is the way. What time do the beef and sheds show up? And what time does the second round of beef and sheds show up? Skipthedishes.ca. Go get yourself something to eat. Make sure you're fed. And like Tyler always says, tip your drivers.
Y'all.
We now welcome Jay Downton to the podcast. We're going to talk about a little bit of business that went on with the Nation Network yesterday. Jay, big announcement yesterday went across the network, had Chris Laboissiere on the Real Life podcast yesterday to explain it all. If you don't know and you're listening to this, I'm going to turn it over to Jay and just give a quick rundown on what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday was first of all, guys, good to be back. I've been on this pod in a while, so it's thanks for allowing me to join the mayhem. Yesterday was a crazy day. Yesterday we announced our partnership with Altitude Investments, led by Chris Laboissiere. He was on Real Life yesterday to kind of talk a little bit about it, but Altitude wanted to team up with the Nation Network to help us kind of grow this platform we're building. They believe in the potential of this space. They've been active citizens in the community, in the Nation community for years now, and they saw the opportunity. So we started talking about working together back in October and kind of walking through what we had for plans and vision for this, for our team sites, for OilersNation.com, but also what we want to do with rolling up a league-wide content strategy to implement off of the back of Daily Faceoff. Those of you who don't know what Daily Faceoff is, it's probably the leading fantasy hockey resource tool on the internet. It's a very established brand in that space. It's got a league-wide audience, very, very passionate, engaged audience. And now we want to build a full-on content plan off the back of that site and kind of see what kind of shitstorm we can create with that.
If you are a fan of the Nation, if you are a citizen of the Nation, Jay, and somebody who consumes what we put out, what does something like this mean to the people that read the websites?
Well, it's going to mean more. So for all our team sites, it's going to be more content. It's going to mean a better user experience. We're going to be revamping the themes of all of our properties over the next 6 months here before the start of next season. So it'll be a better product to use, and it's going to have a lot more content on it. It's going to allow us to team up with more talented Canadian and American aspiring sports journalists, hockey sports journalists. So it's going to allow us to kind of grow the basket, the potpourri of content that we want to push out there for hockey fans. And also for us to generate more gambling content and maybe even some gambling tools to help us make better decisions.
I like the potpourri of hockey content. That's a hell of a saying.
That was a flowery phrase.
And yeah, I'm all in on the betting talk too.
Oh yeah, well, betting, I love that. Betting's an interesting space, and now that it's kind of making its way into North America from a legality standpoint, it's going to be a big part of sports. When we go to Europe and go and hang with our friends there and go watch hockey, like, how sports betting has just worked into kind of like the pregame lifestyle, the in-game lifestyle of a hockey fan is interesting. And we're starting to see it here, which is cool to see. And we're starting to talk like that and act like that. And you watch Twitter and you go and bag milks, risky business, show an hour before the game, and everyone's talking about their prop bets and we all think we're geniuses, but that's kind of part of it. And it's interesting where that space is going to go. And it's definitely a space we want to play in, because we're just hockey fans, and you know, a lot of us like to bet on our boys to get lots of points, and that's just kind of the way it's going. So we're gonna take a run of it with it, and Altitude kind of believes in what we're doing, and this is why we were ultimately allowed to kind of start and form a partnership with Frank Saravalli and Gregor Delosh, the DFO Red Down, and you know, get John Scott to come and join us on Hockey Fights with his Dropping the Gloves podcast. This is going to give us the runway to kind of help grow these partnerships and build a better network for the community. So that's what it ultimately boils down to, is just making sure that we're doing the most we can for a community of hockey fans, because that is who we are.
To me, when I look at it and was reading the announcements yesterday, we have an interesting opportunity in that we're creating content for fans as fans. When the Oilers lose, everybody on this call gets pissed off. There's no pretending that we don't. And it creates a unique environment for hockey fans to have a community of like-minded people, because to me, the sports is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter where you are in your life, what you do. Even looking around this call right now, there's very different people sitting here, but we all love the Oilers and we all love to yell about them. And this deal to me is going to give us a chance to do more of that and get more engaged with the people that love these teams just as much as we do. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, 100%. More yelling, more events, more travel, just more of everything, more of, you know, more community building and more community touch points to bring us all together. Because like I think, like you said, Bag Milk, this is a fan-fueled company. This is all started because we were fans wanting to create content for fans. And, you know, we want to, it's that authenticity that's allowed us to kind of build this kind of momentum that we've created, and you can't shy away from it. You have to lean into it more. Authenticity is so important, and that's what's kind of the uniqueness that the network provides, because there's this amazing community behind it. So we're looking forward to doing more stuff. Like, hell, we're even launching, because of all this, you know, craziness we've done with our friends in Germany from travel and connection and stuff, we're going to be launching a German version of Oilers Nation soon.
What?
So, you know, it's expanding the community even to other markets. It's so hilarious to see kind of where this can go, because, you know, because we're hockey fans and we take the tone and we approach other people as hockey fans, there's a connection to really easy that's easy for us to build because of our approach and kind of who we are, because it's no one's talking down to anyone. This is just fans with fans, and our language that connects us is hockey.
Looking back, Jay, OilersNation.com was the start of the network. That happened in 2007. Would you have expected that it took 14 years to kind of secure something like this and build the network up to a point where we're now having folks like Altitude Investments show interest, or was that even a plan in the beginning?
Never a plan in the beginning. The first business plan for the Nation Networks was to have build something online about Edmonton hockey that would give us the means to be able to buy season tickets and make car loan payments, essentially. So, you know, we didn't really have aspirational goals with it. We just wanted to have fun. But, you know, we were seeing that we were able to build something here. So we just, you know, started to try and scale it. And, you know, one site at a time, new team site here, new team site there, you know, Flames Nation, Canucks Army, all that stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, holy cow. We've been able to knit together kind of a big kind of network just off of just off of sheer will. Yeah, to kind of see where it's gotten to today, I never thought when we started this, it would get to this point. But there was about 4 years ago where I thought this could be a reality. And this is where it poses like the interesting challenge at that time of being a company like this in Edmonton versus, say, New York or Toronto, starting and building a community, a hockey community and content company out of there, something like this might've happened a little bit sooner, but, you know, in hindsight, looking back, we were going to market talking to people up here about this, but everyone was interested in investing in other things at the time, given the economic circumstances and kind of where industry was. But you know what? I'm very grateful and thankful for that time, because it allowed us to kind of look at the business as an investment and look at the and meet with smart people and have them beat us up in meetings to kind of really refine what it is we're doing. We're sending out a plan where we were going to be like there was going to be like 9, you know, subsidiaries, and we're going to do this and that and everything. And it was just too much. And then, you know, after every year since, you know, refining kind of what it is we're good at, what our core value is, and you know, what we want to be as a company is what really, once we really defined that and started leaning into that, that's where Altitude realized that at that time we are something worthy of working with. And that was a path that we had to kind of go on ourselves and figure out to get to this point. So long answer. Yeah, that's it's crazy. It's crazy. And the other crazy thing is 2007, we are not far away from our 15 year birthday.
Yep.
That is insane.
Oh. Yep. Yeah. It's coming up. If you listen to, again, if you want a full breakdown on the deal, yesterday's Real Life podcast goes into it. Did it help things along for this to go through that Altitude is from Edmonton and they believed in the vision of growing something in Edmonton?
Yeah, that's one of their core passions is supporting local and trying to help Edmonton companies have a chance to grow and scale up and, you know, help, you know, build a story of a successful company coming out of Edmonton. That was a huge motivating factor for them. They're a proudly Edmonton company. So a lot of brand alignment there in terms of core, like personal, like core value alignment. And then, yeah, like I said, they just really also enjoy this space. And they think the thing that excites them is that, you know, a league-wide large hockey content company, like they are fully of the belief that Edmonton is the perfect place for that company to exist. And that's why that's another reason why they wanted to get involved with that, so they could help an Edmonton company try to be that company.
I'm personally pretty excited about it. This has been going on behind the scenes for quite a while now before we were finally able to announce. And it's a cool day. It's a really cool day. But I think the most important part is without people listening to this right now, reading the websites, coming to events, joining on social, yeah, all the sponsors, you name it. If it wasn't for the incredible community that was built around OilersNation.com and then expanded outward, into the other sites like Flames Nation, Canucks Army, Daily Faceoff, etc., it never would have happened. It really never would have happened. So everybody listening to this, thank you very much.
Thank you. We're taking a next nation vacation. We're taking PJs there or what?
Well, so I think I've said this once or twice before, but with the success and the momentum we've been having with the air travel trips to like Vegas, like we were in talks with AMA, we were going to have for the, I guess, last season, or sorry, for this season, because we were planning right at the beginning of March of last year, like chartering planes as like 100 citizens going to, you know, going direct to Nashville or direct to Dallas or direct to markets that you can't really go to without connection on normal travel routes. So, you know, we were working on that because we built up so much momentum. And so we think, you know, there's going to be a huge appetite to travel once things kind of, you know, the COVID's kind of behind us and everyone's vaccinated and all that good stuff. So, I think next season there's a huge opportunity. It might have to be the second half of next season, but at some point next season, the nation vacation is definitely going to be firing up. And yeah, like chartering a plane to me, like that's flying private. Like that's as close to it, yep, closest to it as I'll ever get.
You heard it here first, folks. Start scrounging those pennies. Start saving. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Find your roommates there, bag milk.
Everybody find your trip roommates, start saving your shekels. We know you got empties piling up over the pandemic, so keep those aside. You put that into a little savings account because we're going to hit the road and it's going to be great. Oh. If you've never been on a nation vacation, even if it's just a nation bus trip to Calgary, this is something you need to do. You need to readjust your life priorities because I cannot wait for our first trip. I mean, Rick and I were talking about it the other day. We were texting and we're just like, oh, cannot wait to get back out on the road. Just
make sure everyone wears the right shoes though, because we're not taking any elevators. We're not taking any escalators. We take the stairs everywhere we go.
Stair boys roll.
Yeah, yeah, it's steps. Yeah, you rack up the steps. Yeah, no, it's going to be happening. So stay tuned. I'm already kind of started the initial planning phases with AMA. What we need is we need the schedule to kind of be released. Not kind of, we need it to be released. And then we can kind of start circling some dates and then start building some stuff. And then probably what we'll do is just kind of go to market and start taking deposits to just tie up everyone's spot, which will just kind of make our planning a little bit easier. I'm also going to be reaching out to, and this will be something to kind of, maybe poll, the listeners of, you know, destinations. Like, I think the goal next year should be to try to fly to two places. Vegas is obviously great. So, but Nashville is, Nashville's an experience, especially if they can have a full barn, especially cause they suck and the Oilers rule. So that would be, you know, going down there, knowing that the good chance that the Oilers can win, and then you could pour yourself out of the Bridgestone Arena right on Broadway and go to all the honky tonks. Like, it'll be magic. So yeah, can't wait for that. Can't wait for bus trips. Just can't wait for more. Already talking to the Germans about them coming back. Like, there's a lot of momentum. We just need this COVID world to kind of get a little bit more certain, but I can't wait.
I think the biggest thing here is that it's all good news. Very, very excitement. Very, very exciting for the Nation Network to be joining up with Altitude Investments. Check it out, the announcement, basically anywhere. If you're at OilersNation.com, check it out there. DailyFaceoff.com, check it out there. Wherever you are, that's where you can read it. In the meantime, though, while we all wait to get back on a plane and to Vegas and the craps table, I encourage you to explore our beautiful mountains of Jasper. There's plenty to do. I had a buddy go out, do a little bit of spring skiing, said it was great, said it was lovely. There's plenty to do in Jasper. You can do a little hiking, some biking, walking, canyoning, climbing, whatever you want. They've got plenty of socially distant activities to do. And the weather started to turn. A little bit of spring, a little bit of wandering in the wilderness. It'll do the body some good. It'll do some good for your soul. If you're looking for some more details on what you can do in Jasper National Park, head on over to jasper.travel. Again, that is jasper.travel. Get yourselves to the mountains. Jay, since we got you, I want to throw the Sherwood Ford Giant question at you today, because we're talking Oilers. That's what this is all about. This three unexpected week off is basically what it is. Good news or bad news for the Oilers?
It's tough to just give it a one-word answer. First of all, thank you, Sherwood Ford, for all your support and allowing us to get to where we are. You know, we were on such a heater, and you hate to kill momentum, but we've been playing a lot of hockey, and this week, and we were about, you know, we were about to play even a lot more hockey. So I think I'm okay with it. I think I'm okay with it. It seems like they practice, you know, got a lot of good practices in as well. So as much as I don't want to see momentum get paused, I feel like this could be put as an advantage for them to recharge now. Let's see how they come out of this spontaneous spring break that they got in Montreal.
That is the kind of answer we get that gives us a 5-star review. If you are listening to Oilers Nation Radio, give us a review. I will read them. This one came in just the other day. It says, hurry up and sign them already. The title of this review is A Solid Nuge Out of McDavid. Look, this podcast is good. Sometimes even great. Honestly, it's pretty great most of the time. Is it perfect? No. Do the boys make mistakes from time to time? Of course. But who among us doesn't? If this podcast were an Oiler, it wouldn't be McDavid. That being said, if there is a McDavid caliber podcast, I haven't heard it yet. But I'll be damned if this podcast isn't a solid Nugent Hopkins out of McDavid. And for that, this podcast gets a well-deserved 5 stars. Now sign these boys already. Now, if you fellas wouldn't mind discussing something with me, I know this doesn't happen often in the NHL, but I would love to see a Tyson Barry on the wing experiment. Does it not solve most of the problems that aren't goaltending? Bush gets to play more, and we get a winger that can put up some points. Let's go, Oily boys. That is a hell of a review. Tyler, I'm starting with you. Tyson Barry on the wing?
I feel like we've heard this review before. Where have we heard this? Am I going nuts? Did we read this last week, or was this on an episode of Nation Real Life?
That's a fresh review, my friend.
Yeah, we've never heard this one before. You're reading behind the scenes.
Huh. All right. Well, that's a hell of a review. I'm sick of the conversation of people always being like, offensive defenseman, make them a winger. Like, that's the worst conversation to ever have, so I'm not partaking.
Dan, what about you? Tyson Berry on the wing?
Oh, Tyler, geez, man, it's an interesting offer. I felt that way about Darnell. I don't think you can take him off the back end anymore. But he's right. We do have, or they're right. We do have a lot of depth on our D, and you know, every once in a while, it's not a bad thing to try something new. Maybe it works out for Tyson, and he has a new career in the winger's position.
I hate that conversation with like every fiber of my being.
It's not practical at all. Like, there's no chance. There's things that he just can't do. Like, there's picking up the puck from, you know, as it gets rolled around to you along the boards, as
go end to end,
up off the boards. And he, you know what? Just to be nice, he just shoots the wrong way. It's not going to work. Got too many right-handed shooters already. He'd have to be a lefty before we had this conversation. So unfortunately, no.
Jay, are we moving Tyson Berry to the wing?
Absolutely not. They are two completely different positions. Like, it's if you play defense and you get moved out of up to four, you are a fish out of water. You see the ice, it's backwards. So
pick that puck up off the boards there. Get that breakout pass coming at you.
Yeah, like no.
That's terrifying.
He will perform better where he is than putting him on the wing. I like the creativity. I never want to piss on creativity. I like it. And this is a great problem to have and suggestion to have, but no.
My favorite thing, I think, is when, whether it's real life or here at Oilers Nation Radio, when people in their review ask a specific question for the podcast / give their own take. I like it. The other day we had Chase on, does not belong on the power play. And that is the kind of review I want on the podcast. Doesn't have anything to do with the show itself. That's what it's all about. Looking ahead at tomorrow's game, to me, the Leafs right now are, I don't know what you would call it for the Oilers. It's like a mountain they have yet to climb. The Leafs have won 5 of the 7 games so far. The Oilers
We've beat them. We had a rough 3 games where they were able to pop 3 goals in the first period and 2 or 3 of them. The middle of their lineup beat the middle of our lineup. You know, our guys just didn't play well. That's all it is. I know everybody wants to sit here and say they have their numbers, something silly like that, but if the Oilers were to go and win those 3 games, nobody would have been horribly surprised. No one's going to fall off their chair. If you can sit there and say the Oilers can win 3 in a row and not fall off your chair, it's not that big of a surprise. Yeah. It shouldn't be that far out of the realm. These two teams are really damn close to each other.
The concerning part would be in those last 3 games, how much of a clamp they put down on Connor McDavid. And what these next 2 games will kind of be a bit of a telling sign for, like, no one shuts down Connor McDavid 4 games in a row or 5 games in a row unless they've figured something out. So for me, if Connor McDavid goes off for the next 2 games, and Jay, you can shake your head, but like, this is a legitimate conversation to have. If they shut down Connor McDavid for 2 more games, then there's something to be said about have the Leafs figured it out? Have they figured out how to clog up the neutral zone and how to blanket him? Because that's a conversation to have if they shut him down for a 4th and a 5th straight game. That's why these next 2 games are important.
He wouldn't be Connor if someone was able to stop him for forever. Dude, you know, this happened when he's young. No, I agree with you. But he wouldn't be Connor. He wouldn't be the next one, the moniker you want to put on him. I guarantee you, in every level of hockey before, someone's held him up for a little bit and he figured out how to get around it. Whether it took him 3 or 4 games or 3 or 4 minutes, he figured it out. He will figure this out. Not to mention, the whole entire team's playing better. Like this, look at them coming off those 3 games. The records aren't even close, right? Like Toronto has like 2 or 3 wins since that, and we have like 2 losses.
Yeah, I was like, just going to say that. Right?
Completely different direction since that. It is what it is. You can't go back and change it. But no one here actually was that sad at the end of it, going, you know what? Oh shit! I think this is the ceiling for the Oilers. The Oilers can't get any further. We all sat there and went, you know what? That really wasn't them. They beat us. We beat us. It was what it was. Nobody expects that to keep going. Tomorrow, you're going to see a whole different version of that team.
Dan, what were you going to say?
For me, like Rick hit it on the head at the time when he said that the Toronto Maple Leafs just played out of their minds. They played really well in that series, that little mini series against the Oilers. And then they didn't have a lot left in the tank for the next week and a half. And the same thing happened when we beat when the Flames beat us that one game. The Flames have never looked the same since then. They've looked lost. We absolutely thrashed them the next game. So, I mean, you know, you look at this team and you say that every time that we've gone on a little bit of a losing streak or we've had some issues, it's usually the other team that's playing really well. And you can't take that away from the other team at the same time as you say that, you know, the Oilers can be better. But yeah, I think that this series will be closer. I think that the Leafs are kind of limping into it a little bit. And so they've probably had this marked on their calendar again as a way to kind of round it out and show that they can play like they did against us the last time. But yeah, I think that the assessment of, you know, of Tyler, where he said that McDavid's not going to be stopped for four games and five games in a row. It's just not happening. So expect big things from Connor. And honestly, expect big things from the rest of the lineup too. You know, Yamamoto's had some time to get healthier, and the team has to be feeling, you know, all these teams have to be feeling a little banged up as the grind rolls on, and as it seems to be nonstop. It's, you know, four games in five nights kind of thing now, and so yeah, for me, it's I think that this is going to be a fun series. I think the Oilers are going to win both games myself. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited.
Jay, what are you expecting from this series against the Leafs?
You're right, Chuck. I was agreeing with what you have to what you're saying. So I was shaking my head with the positions you were taking, whether it was like okay. No or yes. And so I was with you. I wasn't shitting on you. Yeah. So okay, I'm just gonna wear a weird hat for the moment. If the Leafs were to shut down Connor McDavid in the next two games, then you could maybe jump to the conclusion that maybe they figured something out. But this is Connor McDavid. We're saying maybe the Leafs have marked this on their calendar for, you know, a chance to kind of show up and bounce back from the funk they're in. Connor McDavid had been waiting and counting the seconds to get back because he himself was, in terms of a very proud hockey player, humiliated in his terms. He's mad. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Did the Leafs defend him well in those three games? Yes. Did we play our best during that time? No. So this will be very interesting to see if we got a fired up Oilers squad and Connor's determined to kind of, you know, exact his will against this team. It'll be very interesting to see what it looks like. But, you know, I will bet on Connor McDavid over anyone, 97 out of 97. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I am with Dan. I am just funneling the Kool-Aid. Oilers are sweeping Toronto. They're making the statement. They're rested. Yamo's going to be healed. You know, I'm really feeling good about it.
Well, and here's another thing too, that the Leafs will be facing tomorrow for the first time this season. Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and Jesse Puljujärvi, that's the first line. They did not face that trio together the last time. And shutting Connor down is one thing, but having him and Leon on the same line is another job entirely. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what those two can do, because sure, you can shut down maybe one or the other, sometimes both lines if they're struggling, but those two together is a different level of magic entirely.
And they got lights out goaltending too last time. Freddie ain't coming around this time. Jack Campbell, oof. You know, he's in there. I don't know if they'll probably get both games.
Yeah. I mean, the Oilers got shut down by three different goalies last time, so I don't know. The goaltending, yeah, I wouldn't
get. Tyler's a hater here today.
Hutch stood on his head, though. You got to give him
credit. Yeah, he did. What I'm saying. Like, the Oilers are fucked when it comes to goaltending because they've lit up Markstrom, they've lit up Hellebuck, and then they go and get, like, shut down by, like, Brassois that one game and Michael Hutchinson and, like,
Joey DeCord.
Yeah, I say it all the time on my pregame podcast. I'm like, man, you could have the second coming of Dominic Hasek in net or, like, Martin Gerber, Edmonton Oilers era. And, like, same results expected for the Oilers. It doesn't matter.
Around the horn real quick, let's wrap up the Leafs preview because a lot of people don't even listen to this before the game. Two big keys to victory on a Saturday night. Hockey Night in Canada is in the early slot. I'm excited. I'll have the GDB up bright and early for everybody tomorrow. Two keys to victory. I'm going to start with Tyler. You're first up on my screen.
I'll start with this. The Leafs had some time off, but then they got their warm-up game against the Ottawa Senators in. The Oilers haven't had that warm-up game. So get out of the first 10 minutes. Don't make any big mistakes. Don't cough up a couple pucks and go down 2-0 early. Get the first 10 minutes out of the way. Like Strutty said, maybe create some energy. Come out of it 0-0, and you'll be in a good spot. And the second key for me is going to be get to the areas where you put yourself in a position to draw more penalties. That was a big problem against the Maple Leafs last time, is that the Oilers just really weren't drawing a ton of penalties. They didn't get the calls, but they also weren't doing enough to facilitate or earn calls. So for the Oilers, get out of the first 10 minutes and then get to the dirty areas and get to the power play, because that's how you're going to beat this Leafs team.
Rick, you're next up. Two keys to victory over the Maple Leafs.
Just overall team defense, the way you play in your own defensive zone. I think as long as we play as a five-part system down low, I think we'll be okay. Keep everything to the outside. And number two has to be the goaltending. Those three goals in those games before, they really hurt the team. That's really kicked to the gut. So we need our goaltenders to come out, and we just need average, 915, 920 goaltending, but we can't be letting in a bad goal. Like, we just need to have solid goaltending. If we have that solid team defense in front of them, there's no reason to believe we won't have that solid goaltending. We start winning battles down low, that will take it out of the zone, and that's where we'll get our victories.
Jay is up next on my screen. Two keys to victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, to Tyler's point about penalties and how to get more, two things on that respect. Let's move our feet. Let's play with speed. Yeah. And let's force those guys to have to take liberties on us to slow us down. We're a fast team. So let's use that to our advantage, and let's come out with energy and just really push the pace. And let's also just smack these guys around and bring in the physicality. That was a really heavy series against Winnipeg that was physical and awesome, and we rose to the occasion and were able to beat a really good hockey team. Let's bring that to the Leafs. And then secondly, and then with that, we'll come offense and all that fun stuff. Because the penalties and all that and good stuff, but defense. To Rick's point, defense. Keep doing what we've been doing, keeping shots to the outside. We've been playing really well in front of Mikko, and by doing that, Mikko's been playing really well for us. Not saying that he's starting, but just as an example. So I think, keep defending like we have been the last little bit, and then hit these guys with speed, and they won't have a chance.
Mr. Danger Dan, keys to victory, my friend.
For me, it's a little bit more than what Tyler said. I think that this team sets the tone in the first period, and for me, they need to do that. They've tried to do it in the last Toronto series, but if they come out of these games up by at least one after the first period, I think they win every time. So that's my first key. My second key is something that was missing in that three game stint, and then it's since then come alive again, is the offense from the defense. And those, the Darnell Nurse activating and coming up and really pushing the play onto the Leafs. And then you've got Barry, and you've got even Russell chipping in. And Larson's been playing some of the best hockey of his life. So I want to see some offense from the D. So, yeah, get a goal, get a couple goals in the first periods, set the tone, and then have the offense from that defensive player element helping you out.
Just to wrap this up really quickly, Tyler, get your buttons ready. The hot and cold performers. But for me, just to wrap things up, my two keys to beating the Leafs here are, one, respect the blue lines. And what I mean there, I've been saying this all season long, when the Oilers turn the puck over at either blue line, it drives me fucking crazy. Bear down, boys. Respect the blue lines. Either get it out or get it in. And then second, special teams. Special teams are huge here. If the Oilers' power play can get rolling, it's deadly. And right now we're looking at it going into tomorrow's game. The Oilers' power play is rolling at 27%, and the Leafs' power play is rolling at 26.8. So theirs is very, very good as well. And both teams are floating around 76% on the PK. So the special teams here are very, very even in terms of the numbers. I think whoever wins the special teams battle will have a major advantage in this. So respect the blue lines, bring the special teams. Tyler, get your buttons ready. It is time for our Deuce Vodka Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. Our friend Brett Kissel would like you to try Deuce Vodka. If you go to deucevodka.com /find us. There is a locator right there for you. You can make yourself a little cocktail, maybe a little Caesar Sunday to celebrate a big win on a Saturday night. I know that's what I'll be doing. Oilers are going to win tomorrow. They're going to beat the Leafs. I'll wake up Sunday morning and I'll have myself a Caesar with my air fried breakfast. And if you're telling me that's not good living, then you need to reevaluate your life. Deucevodka.com. Find out where to get it. It is all over the place. Right now, actually, I'm seeing 396 different locations across Alberta and Saskatchewan. So deucevodka.com. Find it, drink it, enjoy it, but please drink responsibly. Tyler, as we always do, we are going to start off with our veggies this week, which is the cold performers of the week. Seeing as you are the big face on my screen right now, I'm starting with you, Tyler, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
I got a bit of a thing to do here. You know me. I like to mix in some other sports here in this segment. I'm going with the injury luck that the Toronto Blue Jays have been facing ahead of opening day. Kirby Yates, one of the best relievers in the majors a couple of years ago. They bring him in, bargain contract. I'm excited. I think he's going to fix the bullpen. Bang, Tommy John surgery. Robbie Ray, a reclamation project. He's carrying his baby and falls down a flight of stairs. You can't make this shit up, man. They are a cursed organization, and right now the injuries are killing them. I bring this up because I'm launching a Blue Jays podcast with our friends at Blue Jays Nation and our good buddy Cam Lewis. So me and Coombsy are dropping episode one of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Does that name sound familiar? We're dropping that on Monday. It's going to be exciting. I'm happy to talk a little Blue Jays. I got my Vladdy and my Bo jerseys hanging behind me on the wall to celebrate. So my cold performer of the week are the Blue Jays injuries, but really I just wanted to plug the new podcast.
Is it going to be a weekly podcast? How often are you doing it?
Yeah, so basically every Sunday night, me and Coombsy are going to sit down and we're going to go through the last week of the Jays season. We're going to look ahead to the next week, and we're going to have some interviews with different people from around the internet and all that stuff. Super light, super casual. Cam took a shot at Jameson before we recorded an interview the other day. It was funny. And yeah, we're going to have that full episode ready to go for Monday morning, bright and early.
Blue Jays Nation Radio, welcome to the Nation Network podcast team. Tyler, you're Remchuk, doing 9,000 podcasts across the network. Rick, you are next up, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
You know what? We're going to go a little on the light side here. We're just going to blame the rest of Dylan Holloway's team. Like, that guy can only do so much for his team. The rest of the guys need to step up a little bit. So, we're going to blame the rest of the team as to why he's out of the Frozen Four as of like an hour ago. But we'll spin it to positive and say now he gets to start his Oilers career a little bit early. So we're gonna give him a hard time here and just say, you know what, guys, you got to help the kid out a bit.
Guess you could say his teammates.
They are just fucking ass right now.
Mr. Nation Dan, you are next up on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, for my cold performer of the week, I'm going to head a little bit south from here and look at the Calgary Flames and one Rasmus Anderson, who decided this week it would be a good idea to try and steal the puck from a 22-year-old rookie goaltender after getting his first win against Rasmus Anderson's woeful Flames. And for that and that alone, Rasmus Anderson, you're a punk and you're my cold performer of the week.
Why are you the way that you are? I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Jay, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, cold performer of the week.
Can I have two?
Sure.
All right. First off, my first one, Shane Pinto. You're a bum. Dylan Holloway for Hobie. Everyone vote for Dylan. Shane, I don't know why. I don't know who. I don't know what Twitter bots you got working on your side. You fucking suck. Dylan is way better. Vote for Dylan. I don't get it. Second thing I have to do, I don't get it. The Yeezy foam runners. Has anyone seen those things?
Yeah, I did.
Am I sound like a dad, like an old man yelling at cloud, or can we all agree those things are terrible?
They've been horrible since the first story put out.
They look like Crocs. They look like space Crocs. Yeah. And I hate them.
This is coming from like a, he's got like a PhD in footwear fashion too, Jay does. So honestly, I know my opinion, but I'll take a step aside, man. This comes from Mr. Birkenstocks, Mr. Uggs. Like, he obviously knows what's going on. So I'm just going to step back. And if Jay thinks they're bad, I'm on teams with them. They're not very good at all.
Yeah.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
You better chance seeing me in Crocs than those things.
Crocs are comfortable. I will defend Crocs all day long. I don't care. If you're at the lake and you got Crocs on, maybe a cocktail, maybe a nation beer, you're having a good time. Wrapping it up, my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is the Montreal Canadiens. I get it. We're doing this for safety. You got to. You got to. But you ruined my week, Montreal Canadiens. I was excited. Tyler and I had just recorded Risky Business. We were betting. We were pumped. We were fired up for a three-game set against the Habs. Didn't happen. They're my cold performer of the week.
Burr, burr.
Exactly. Flipping the ledger, let's end off this podcast with some good news. I will start things off. My Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week actually goes back over 14 years. Nation citizens, you made a very cool thing possible. Thank you for reading the articles across the network. Thank you for listening to podcasts like this one. Thank you for interacting with us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and wherever we are. Without you, this doesn't do anything. Nation citizens around the globe are my hot performer of the week and for the last 14 years.
Dem Arby's boys, wheels up. Ski, skirt.
Rick, you're next up on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, like Tyler likes to dip into some other sports, as do I. So today we're going to go and we're going to give this to the Miami Dolphins. A longtime Dolphin fan, we've gone through a lot of darkness, which I kind of know and I think everybody here understands, as they've gone through the same darkness with this organization. But as this organization is kind of coming out the other end with a lot of young talent and some structure going forward, so are my Dolphins. We made a couple of good trades today. I think it's going to solidify our team for this season, and we're jacked up for the next couple of drafts as well. So today we're going to give this to the Dolphins. He's a Losing Bills guy, so this is what he's doing this.
Tyler, you're next up. Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Mark Spector sending out some news that Oscar Klefbom had successful shoulder surgery. And Spector, just at the end of that tweet, kind of says, you know, maybe there's a chance he's ready for the start of the 21-22 season. And that gets me going. I'm a big Oscar Klefbom fan. I will defend this man until the bitter end. They should protect him. He should be here next year. When he is healthy, he is their number one defenseman. And if he comes back, this blue line is going to be something to fear. So, you know, not giving it to Oscar Klefbom per se, but the news
to the
that
doctor.
Oscar, to the doctor. Yeah, the news that he had successful surgery. That has me feeling good here. Oscar Klefbom's successful surgery is my hot performer of the week.
Cash money.
Jay, you're next up on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, damn it, Bag Milk, you took mine. So I will echo yours, and then in absolute panic, I'm going to pick a guy who has really taken a step for our Oilers, even though they haven't played this week, but who has been a phenomenal defenseman, and he's being talked about in the same sentence as the word Norris, and that's our boy Darnell Nurse. I love you. Thank you for what you're doing this year. You're a big reason for why we are where we are. So that might not be my hot performer for the week. It would just be for the season because I don't really come here that often. So I had to make up for lost time.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Nation Dan, you are next on my screen. Wrap us up with your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, mine's pretty simple. You know, I know that this week was long. It was arduous. We didn't have the Oilers to enjoy as much. But Oiler fans, get ready. If you haven't been paying attention to the rest of the division, we're sitting pretty right now. The playoffs are within sight. Get ready. Buckle up. We've got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Everything is good. Oiler fans, we're the hot performers of the week because we made it through this week. And here we go. It's time for the stretch run. Let's freaking go. Dem Oily boys, wheels up.
Who doesn't love a Cotton Eye Joe thrown in there? Goodness.
I love it.
Great. All right. There we have it. Weathers Nation Radio, episode 130. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to this. Without you guys, there's no point in doing it. It would just be all of us just talking to each other as we always would anyway. I want to thank you for leaving reviews. Please leave reviews on the podcast. I will read them, even if they're very long like today's was. And I will end off episode 130 with another five-star review. This one's from Landona. More heat than the Battle of Alberta. Love the arguments. Great interviews. Hot and cold takes. Thoroughly enjoy listening. Keep up the great work. That is a five-star review. This is Oilers Nation Radio, episode 130. I'm Bag Milk, Rick, Nation Dan, Tyler Remchuk, and Jay here as well. Thank you to all our sponsors for making it possible. Sherwood Ford, Tourism Jasper, Skip the Dishes, Deuce Vodka, Cornerstone Insurance, and Struds for stopping by and giving us his wisdom, even though he was looking real sexy on today's performance, laid back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't tell him that.
Dude, he did it from bed. He was laying on the bed today.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is sexy. Never mind.
At least his Wi-Fi held up.
and no bougie chime this week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody for listening. That's it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out, Damien.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.